Hi, my name is Dylan Raymond, and this is Policy Streams. I talk to people all over the world to hear their life stories. Today, I'm really delighted to be talking to Divya Sharma, who's a good friend of mine from Cambridge University. Divya, thanks so much for being on the show here today and making the time.
Thank you for having me, Dylan.
So for everyone out there, a bit of backstory on Divya Sharma. Divya is an American, but of Indian heritage. She has lived in California for her entire life, except for the last couple of years. She came to the University of Cambridge to do a master's in sustainable development, which is her policy passion. So today we're going to talk about sustainable development. But first of all, Divs, I want to ask you, what was it like coming from the United States to the UK? Specifically, how did you feel as an American in the United Kingdom, and you were there during the Trump administration? So what was that like?
I think, you know, as I said, I think I just felt guilty for everything. Yeah, I felt guilty of just coming from a country that's so privileged and doesn't recognize its privilege, essentially. And I remember I talked to my parents one day, and I called them and I'm like, telling them about my experience of how people view America outside of the country. And they were kind of like, yeah, of course, no, we're not surprised by that. And I was like, why didn't you tell me? You should have warned me that this is what I was going to be up against. So it has been a balance, because I have to join the criticism, right? And I have to be critical of America. And so that's kind of how I engage in the conversations, and also them listening to others about the impact that it has on them. That's what comes with the privilege, is educating yourself essentially on how others have been impacted by it, and working towards finding, well, what are the good things that I can see in America and how do I highlight that?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, this is a pretty good segue then, because we could talk about politics or we could talk about lots of other stuff. Let's talk sustainable development. So what is sustainable development? It's a bit of a silly question to answer because I think it's kind of self-explanatory, but for a layperson, what is sustainable development?
I guess I can speak to it in regards to how my degree kind of frames it. And the goal of sustainable development is supposed to be a response to economic development. And it's meant to recognize that there are limitations in just focusing purely on economic development. Economic development can drive inequality. It's led to a lot of the climate change issues we've had and scarcity of resources. So sustainable development is meant to be a more systems perspective of how do societies develop? How can we do so in such a way that doesn't cause quite as much harm and is more holistic in its thinking and not geared towards just the metric of GDP.
Okay, I'm going to fly in the face of everything you learnt.
Sorry, is that not layperson enough?
No. It is, you know, it is very layperson. Thanks for that definition. But let me ask you a tough, challenging question, because I get what sustainable development is, and I do believe in it. I do think it's very important. But the foot is on the accelerator for capitalism. It can't be taken off. The overarching problem of living in a capitalist framework with such a high premium on growth, is sustainable development possible? I don't think it is, Divs. I think the larger overarching issues won't be solved until we do potentially maybe like a really radical change of human lifestyle. So where does sustainable development fit into all of this then?
That's a tough question, Dylan. So let me see if I can break it apart.
So it's a very long-winded question too, actually, like really all over the place.
So one is global population is increasing, but the expectation is by 2050 it should level off. Developing countries are starting to already do that. Most of the global population now will increase in South America and Africa. And it's really important to also recognize that more and more people are moving towards urban spaces, partly because as areas become more urbanized, they become more developed. Mm-hmm. And as you're saying, this is the capitalistic model, is you pull all of your resources, you achieve your economies of scale, and then you achieve development. And so the challenge for these countries that are in the global south is, how do we develop in such a way where we're not developing like these Western economies have, where we're sucking up just as much energy and polluting more, essentially. And that is the context and that recognition of the rest of the world is trying to develop and achieve a quality of life. And it is now a challenge of, how do we model here within the global north a development that is not dependent on carbon? Mm-hmm. And how do we also then help the rest of essentially the world develop in a way where they can achieve quality of life.
That is a really good explanation of sustainable development, actually a really good ideological framework, so thanks for sharing that. But is sustainable development even possible?
Is sustainable development possible? I kind of think that almost doesn't matter. I think the point is that you're supposed to work towards it. I think we are going to be forced to move in that direction, whether or not we choose to believe in it or not. I think the way that the climate is changing, I think the way that the biodiversity systems are collapsing, we will have to adapt. And it is for those that are ready to achieve that radical change that we'll hopefully be able to lead the way, essentially. My hope is that we start subscribing ourselves to lifestyles, to political leaders, to systems that enable more sustainable ways of living. I think it has to happen. And if man is selfish enough, it should happen.
So I'm perhaps now veering into maybe the rhetoric of a climate change activist, but isn't it too late to some degree? I mean, okay, yes, granted, sustainable development can occur and that can, to some degree, lessen the negative impacts of climate change. But isn't it too late, Dibs, considering the damage already done to the planet?
Yeah, I think some damage has been irreversible. And I think the world has changed in ways that are very permanent. And at the end of the day, what we as a society will choose is we will choose to nurture a type of earth that sustains us, the human species. And that is going to come with consequences. Again, similar to is sustainable development possible? Isn't it too late? I kind of think it doesn't matter. I think we are already on this path and we have to do everything that we can to get us to a path that is more sustainable. I do think it's worth asking yourself, if I have the privilege to ask myself what I want from this life, then you have that responsibility to ask yourself, how can you contribute?
So, Divya, I have to say, I am actually inspired by what you say because you speak with such passion. Because for me, the truth is, I agree with everything you're saying. I do think there needs to be action taken, but I'm somewhat consumed in my own life, which is, you know, the challenges of my own day-to-day life. So the question then to ask you is, how do you find the inspiration to keep doing this?
I don't. I listen to podcasts, Dylan. That's what gets me through. Yeah, just saying, yeah, that's definitely a plug for you.
Thanks. Thanks, Divs, for the plug. Really appreciate it. But back to the question. How do you have hope?
I have hope because I have to. The alternative is no hope, and that's not really a life that I can live. So you're probably well aware of choosing to have faith and choosing to believe that there is a purpose to this, and it is our responsibility to discover and divine what that purpose is. So I think bigger picture, that's kind of how I manage the day-to-day. I try to have hope because the alternative is collapse. So, but I also think we are all just humans, like you said, and we can only do so much. You can only worry about so many things. And I do think you have to compartmentalize and find ways to measure progress in the day-to-day and find a way to make that be enough. And I think we're all realizing that the pandemic has been this perfect little microcosm experiment of how can we all respond to the need to rapidly change our lives. And I hope that there are enough people that are seeing it is possible. And, and we need to be tapping into that, into that collective recognition that we have to sacrifice some of what we had for the good of others.
So, Divs, I have this micro level view, which is, okay, I can control things within my immediate remit. So obviously to that degree, I try to practice recycling. So I do that sort of stuff. So on a micro level, I can do things, but on a macro level, I can't really influence or affect change, I believe. I don't think I have the sway or the power to change a government's position on whether to pursue economic growth or whether to pursue reductions in carbon emissions. And so to that degree, I've got this micro macro level view. Clearly, you have a different view to me, which is you feel macro-level change can be achieved. You're advocating for sustainable development. You're fighting for it. What do you say to people like me then who have this micro-level view?
I guess my response to that is, yes, there are limits as a human as to what you can do as an individual. And I think that there's also more than one way to contribute. And I think that's probably where if you're much better off looking at yourself is, there are trade-offs to how we live, and there are things that all of us are doing that are actually damaging to the environment, and there are things that we're doing that are helpful. And I think it's important that we don't reduce ourselves as humans to just our carbon footprint. just like we shouldn't reduce economies or nations to GDP, we shouldn't just say, oh, we are these carbon emitters and we have to minimize what we're doing. I think we have to recognize that we are contributing and adding so much more to society than just our ability to recycle. And I think that's where I would argue one should put their focus on is, as an individual, we should be asking ourselves, if I have this privilege of time and of thinking about the world in a different way, then how do I take action on it? What are the skill sets that I can add to a cause that I care about? And then you follow up on that.
Yeah. Okay. That's a valid point. The final thing I wanted to ask you to is just to summarize all of this. And you probably picked up from all the previous podcasts that I do that this is how I normally end it. What would you say to other people about the importance of sustainable development? Why is it important? Why should we be pursuing this?
I think it's important for us to recognize that there are so many people and so many lives and that are not provided the same types of luxuries. And I think there are 7 to 8 billion people on this planet, and we do really need to start asking ourselves, are the systems that we are subscribed to, are they actually serving all of us, or are they actively excluding other people? And if so, why is it like that, and how can we change that? And I think that is what sustainable development is asking, is who is not being included in this system. Certain people have been allowed to enter it and to grow and to have the education and to have the career path and the nutritious food and access to all of these things that we value so much. But I think it's important that we have to recognize that a lot of people are not, and many ecosystems are suffering due to this access that we've been provided. So I'm not sure that it should be this way, where only a few receive the most wonderful experiences that this world has to offer. I'm still taking a very macro perspective, and I am asking a person to see beyond themselves and see beyond their own experience.
I think, Divs, it's been one heck of a conversation. And there's one thing you just said now, which sort of stuck with me, which I think captures what you're trying to do and what I think most of us should be doing, but sadly we don't do, and that's myself included, which is seeing beyond oneself, both in terms of the people that we live with presently, but also for future generations. And I think this conversation has been revealing to me. So thanks, Fizz, for giving the time to talk to me about it. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on and even thinking to ask me. It's pretty exciting that you're doing a podcast. I don't know if I would ever have the courage to do it. And so far, you've had a very good listen and guests, rather, and I'm happy to be one of them.